call to order this regular meeting of the New Britain Common Council. The date is August 10th, 2016. The time is 8:43 p.m. Mr. Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Call the persons. Giantonio.
Present.
Smedley.
Present.
Carlozzi.
Present.
Black.
Present.
Collins.
Present.
Davis.
Here.
Hargraves.
Here.
Naples.
Here.
Pabon.
Here.
Polkowski.
Present.
Rosado.
Here.
Salvio.
Here.
Sanchez.
Here.
Sanders.
Present.
Salerno.
Here.
15 present, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clerk. Can we all please rise for the invocation, which will be followed by the Pledge of Allegiance?
Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for a glorious summer. The summer was full of excitement in New Britain, especially tonight. The Bee's initial baseball season, plenty of rounds of golf, youth baseball, camps, water parks, and much, much more. Thank you for keeping the rain to a minimum, which allowed us grass cutters to take a break. For the teachers, August is their Sunday night. For the children, it's their last chance for carefree entertainment. Look down on our Dzięki organizers and volunteers as they celebrate the longstanding tradition of giving thanks for your harvest. Give them a sunny, comfortable weekend. We ask this in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You can all please be seated. We'll jump right into business with approval of the minutes. Alderman Giantonio.
No minutes, Your Honor.
There are no minutes this evening. Okay. Then we'll move on to amendments to the agenda.
Thank you, Your Honor. Make a motion to amend the agenda as follows. We have a proposed addition item N, a proposed addition item 2A, a withdrawal of item 3 and item 4, and a proposed addition of item 11 and item 12. So that's N, 2A, 11 and 12 being added, 3 and 4 withdrawn.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Sanders. Mr. Clerk?
Yes. Alderpersons Giantonio.
Yes.
Smedley.
Yes.
Carlozzi.
Yes.
Black.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
Hargraves.
Yes.
Naples.
Yes.
Pabon.
Yes.
Polkowski.
Yes.
Rosado.
Yes.
Salvio.
Yes.
Sanchez.
Yes.
Sanders.
Yes.
Salerno.
Yes.
15-0, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, are there any petitions this evening?
No petitions tonight, Your Honor.
No petitions tonight. Thank you very much. With that being said, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Alderman Giantonio.
Thank you, Your Honor. I am not aware of any items that any alderperson would like off of consent, so I make a motion to accept a consent agenda consisting of items A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, and N. That is items A through N, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Salerno. Any discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Clerk, will you please call the roll on the consent agenda?
All the persons, Giantonio.
Yes.
Smedley.
Yes.
Carlozzi.
Yes.
Black.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
Hargraves.
Yes.
Naples.
Yes.
Pabon.
Yes.
Polkowski.
Yes.
Rosado.
Yes.
Salvio.
Yes.
Sanchez.
Yes.
Sanders.
Yes.
Salerno.
Yes.
15-0, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. The consent agenda passes. So we're moving on to resolution number one. Alderman Giantonio.
Thank you, Your Honor. I make a motion to accept and adopt resolution number one.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Naples.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think resolution number one is what has probably about everyone in this room here tonight, and that is the sale of Patton Brook Well to the town of Southington for $1 million. Part of what I wanted to do starting tonight is really talk about some facts and some things that I heard during public speaking that might not have been right that I really just want to correct. You know, I'm going to read you some facts about the well first. The well was built in 1959. It's located in Southington. We know that. We haven't used the well in the city of New Britain in over four decades. It's been, contrary to some comments that have been out there, it has not been connected to our water system since 1979. The lease that was with Southington until, June of 2014 was ended by the city of Southington. Not by the city of New Britain. They chose to not renew that lease. The town of Southington has expressed that they have no interest in renewing that lease. Not at the $106,000, not at less, not at more. They have no interest. They have no interest in entering back into a lease, even if we sell it. So while I appreciate talk about renovating the well and leasing it or keeping it as is and leasing it, That is not an option right now. Our options on the table before us are keep the well or sell the well. As we talked about, the well would require approximately $1 million to get it back up online and functioning. A lot of talk about what will come out of the well as far as water. And the 1.2 million gallon number is thrown out a lot. The 1.2 million gallon is actually the rights on how much water can be pulled out of that well. That's the maximum. That has nothing to do with what the actual capacity of the well is. The town of Southington has not actively drawn water other than to test the well since the year 2000, I think, is what Director Bly told me. They have not been pulling water other than to test it a couple hundred gallons here and there, mostly due to the condition of the well. Something else that I want to address that kind of bothered me in public participation is the accusation that this was done behind closed doors. And I just want to talk about that for a little bit. This was proposed at a council meeting probably 3 months ago. So that's one meeting. It was then sent to a subcommittee, two meetings. That was tabled at the subcommittee level. We took it up again at the subcommittee level. That's three meetings. And we are now here tonight talking about it. That's four meetings. As you can see, if everyone turns around, the Nutmeg TV cameras are here. Meetings are live. They are also available online. Our agendas are available online. Our agendas are circulated on Facebook by aldermen and the mayor's office and people to show what we're doing. So please don't say this was a closed-door deal. This was not. Four meetings, available on TV, agendas online. There's nothing funny going on here. To echo what Alderman Rosato said, I don't get a commission if we sell this well to Southington, so the accusation that we're lining our pockets with things like this is also ludicrous. And quite frankly, it's offensive. You know, we are paid for these positions, but if you took the amount of money that every one of the 15 of us gets a year and divided it by the hours we spent, it's probably less than $1 an hour. It's minuscule. No one's up here to make money. No one's got this job to make the money that we make being aldermen. We're here because we love our city, and any decisions we make are based on that. There was also some accusations that, why are we buying water from other places? Why are we taking water from Woolkit? Why are we doing this at a time that we're talking about selling our well? I talked to Director Bly, who I have to mention, Director Bly and I have the same tie on tonight, so Gil, you're looking sharp. You know, I asked Gil, so Director Bly, how long have we been taking water from Woolkit? And I don't remember the exact year, but it began with 1800. So we're talking over 140 years that we've been taking water from that property in Woolkit. And Burlington is in 1920s. So we're looking at almost 100 years there. These aren't new well fields that we're doing all of a sudden behind closed doors to offset this sell of Patton Brook well. Another thing, you know, it's being said that this is a recurring source of revenue. This is no longer a recurring source of revenue. We can only lease or sell this well to Southington. No one else. We cannot lease it to anyone else. I heard talk about Niagara. I mean, we're not selling. We also heard about we're selling this for profit. We're not selling this for profit. We also heard we're not looking to the future. Actually, we are looking for the future. We're selling one well to fix 27. Last time I checked my math, 27 greater than one. So if we can fix 27 wells by selling one, I think that's a pretty good deal. In addition, those wells will bring in 6.6 million gallons a day. So we can either fix one that'll bring in 1.2 or fix the ones that will bring in 6.6. You know, we've talked about this quite a bit as a council. We talk about it in every meeting that we've been at. You know, I'm not going to say that the decision to do this came easily for all the you know, statements that everyone made. Water is a resource that we should not take selling lightly, and I did not take that lightly, and I don't think any of my colleagues did. You know, we talked quite a bit, you know, about this, and, you know, whether anyone votes yes or no tonight, it's not because we didn't gather all the facts, and it's not because we're not doing what we think is right for New Britain. You know, we all are making our decision based on the facts. trying to think if there's any facts that I wanted to bring up. I'm sure I heard Alderman Smedley say he's got some too. At this point, I'm going to yield the floor. I will say Director Bly is here if we have questions. There are representatives from Southington here if we have questions. And, you know, I will be supporting the sale of this well this evening. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Alderman Giantonio. I think I'm just going to go right down the line.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Alderman Salerno.
Thank you. Through you, Madam Chair. Alderman Gianfrido has, Giantonio has been able to provide, he's here in spirit. Alderman Giantonio has laid out a number of statistics and data that are important to hear, but there are so many others. And I think that's the part. I don't think that I could more eloquently present that as Alderman Giantonio has. And there are people in this council who have really done incredible amounts of homework to give to other members of the council as well. I pointed back to Alderman Naples, who has done diligently a tremendous amount of information above and beyond. This council went and saw and took the tour. Now, people undermine and say, well, the tour is not a big deal. Well, it really was. It gave us a perspective. It gave us an ability to take a look at where the well is located. We know the history of the well, and we've provided that information to each other. And we've bandied this about quite a bit. It's not true that we haven't tried to educate the general public. It's probably impossible to get all the information to everyone on everything that's presented. And I think that's part of why we don't discourage people to be here. We don't discourage you to come and participate. You're here. We have these committee meetings, as Alderman Giantonio stated. We have these efforts for people to come out. And it takes a lot of time from your busy days. We really do appreciate it. I think one comment that I do want to make in terms of issues, the issues that we're talking about in terms of the Tilcon area as well versus Patton Brook are two separate issues. The only thing they have in common is the concept of water. The data for that. We don't have all the information for that. We're going to get all the information, as I feel we've gotten with Patton Brook. So these issues are not made just on a whim. I would say we've probably put in, I'm going to guess, somewhere in the vicinity of 40 or 50 or 60 hours of time just on this particular issue during the course of the last months. I'm going to say that outright. I do a little thing called coffees. They're mine. They're what I do. I go give an opportunity for people to show up. They're advertised. I heard someone come in today and say, well, gee, I never saw it before. And I said, well, I guess I'm not doing a very good job of advertising or putting public information out on the Herald or the City Journal, putting it on Facebook. We utilize Facebook whenever we possibly can because it's a new way of social media. The information is out there. We hand out our cards. And I think it's just important. This is on behalf of every single member of this council. I want to say this. You know, we hand out our cards. We're available at meetings. We go to organizational efforts. We are accessible and available. And I've just said that over and over again. So I hope that when other issues come up and other data is presented, and I think more data is going to be presented tonight, maybe by other members of the council, that people do listen. They do appreciate. And give us a call or try to reach us on any or all these issues. You may not like the results. You may not always agree with some of the things, but I think we are stewards of this community every chance we get. The long-term efforts of what happens to water quality in this city is tremendous. And I say to Director Bly and his staff to see the incredible filtration plant and the process that we go through to bring quality water to this community, we are all proud of it. You know, there's no one selling any reservoir. And I get a little very upset when I see someone putting flyers out, with a picture of our reservoir as if somewhere we're just going to throw that out and we'll turn it into a swimming zone or something. That's, first of all, it's illegal. You can't do it. We realize that can't happen. That's something we are not at all involved with. And rather than go into other data, I want to turn to other people who have that and just encourage you to continue to remain involved and ask us questions and come and visit us and talk to us. We want that. We encourage it. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Salerno. I'm going to go around the circle. The other alderman, Alderman Smedley.
Thank you, and through you, Your Honor. During public participation, there were some comments and some items discussed that made my eyes open up really wide. I want to back up for a second. I do want to thank all of our department heads and staff who were involved in this entire process, everyone from the water department. I understand the strenuous task of when one of us calls you and asks for a report, the five people behind you that are working to compile that data is immense, and I appreciate everyone taking time out As I look at Alderman Carlozzi's desk and Alderman Salerno's desk and some of my other fellow colleagues, they have piles and piles of paperwork related to this, and I can only imagine the time and effort that went into gathering that for all of us. So I do want to thank you all for that. The points of information that I wanted to address were sort of addressed by my two fellow colleagues. Why would we get rid of an asset and then go out and get more or pay someone else for more? We already own the rights to the water in these other towns and or actually own the property. The White Bridge well field in Bristol, for instance, is our property. We own it. We pay taxes to the city of Bristol for that property. We have the rights to the water, so we're not paying someone else for that water. We already own that. There was a comment made by an individual, why would we lose the reoccurring income that we have with Southington? Twice, Southington stood in front of us at that podium and testified legally that they were going to walk away from this if we did not allow the purchase or sell the property to them. That's not getting rid of reoccurring income. That's losing income if we don't sell it to them, period. The director stood and was questioned by some of my fellow colleagues about the selling price of $1 million versus, this is from 2 years ago, by the way, $1.3 million. And they outright said, you know what, we've made other arrangements. If New Britain doesn't want to sell this piece of property to us, we're going to walk away from you. Another comment by the same individual was, what is the actual value, and does anyone know the actual value of the property? The state has what's called a fixed asset schedule that we file. The actual value of the property is $60,862.63, and that was included in the city report in 2014-15. So that is the actual value of that 1.6-acre parcel of land, the fence, and the brick building that sits there. I understand. Thank you, Alderman. 0.6. There, I do understand there's a difference between the value of the rights to the water and the value of the property. That's the other misinformation that I wanted to address. We are essentially selling the rights to the water that lay in the aquifer, which is registered with the state and cannot be changed. And we have it registered, I believe, at 1.2 million gallons of water. We can't change that. It is what the state says can be safely withdrawn from that aquifer. The last one that I wanted to address, and it really hit home with me and kind of partially offended me, and it kind of echoes what Alderman Rosado stated earlier. We're not lining our pockets with this $1 million. We're going to take this money and reinvest it in our water department. Some former administrations had attempted to actually sell the entire water department 2 or 3 years ago for $36 million. We have the emails, conversations with those private investors. The laughs from the audience, it's true. The person who stood up there and said that accused us of being public officials who were selling off assets, and it's funny that some of these same people were CC'd in the emails and agreed to the meetings to sell that water department. So I took personal offense that there wasn't an uprising back then, so I just have trouble understanding why it is now. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Alderman Smedley. Any other aldermen like to comment? Alderman Carlozzi.
Thank you, Your Honor. There's been a lot of information tonight that's been presented. It's amazing, however, that a lot of us have the same information, and some call it fact and some call it fiction. I'm not really going to go through all that. I've been on the council now for about 8 years. Not quite sure why I originally ran, but I was talked into it, and my dad said that I was a fool then. And when you sit up late at night and you review some decisions and some things that you have to do, maybe dad was right. But I enjoy what I do because I feel that I can bring some value to the council, to the debates, and to the decisions that are made. I'm not the kind of guy that just gets hot under the collar about every single issue that comes before us. We've had that in the past, where some people will argue just for the sake of arguing because it's good to argue. I don't do that. I believe in talking, in negotiating things, and coming up with something that's good policy for the city of New Britain. But from time to time, I have been known to come out and speak out against something. Didn't matter whether the people proposing it were my best friends, members of my same party, whether the mayor was from my same party or not. If I felt something was wrong, I spoke out against it. And I voted against it. I could take us back to an issue that came before this council in October of 2012 when there was a landlord fee that was licensing fee that was done. There was a big crowd, and everybody was against it. But guess which party had the majority? The Democrats. Guess who had the supermajority? The Democrats. And I was one of the ones to speak out against and vote no. But I was on the losing end that night. A couple years later, the administration changed. We were able to go back, and we were able to undo that particular landlord licensing fee. And we eliminated it in its entirety because it was the right thing to do for the city of New Britain. It was not about politics. It was about what's good. Tonight we're talking about a sale. Once we do the sale, there is no undoing. You can't go back a year or two or three from now and undo it. And so I am very disturbed. I was one of the ones. It was 8-7 in June of 2014 when we said no to $1.3 million. During that entire debate with our current mayor's chief of staff at the time, we talked and talked and talked, and I think we talked for hours every single day about it. And he was making his points, and I was asking him more questions. He was making his points. And quite honestly, folks, I was on the fence about whether or not it was a good deal, because it was like, okay, if we're not really using this asset, then the city could use $1.3 million and put it back into our water department and do something good with it if we were not using it. At the end of the day, I could not stomach the idea that I was selling a piece of property that had water. Water, something that people have gone to war over in the past. And I said no. This time around, there really wasn't any question in my mind that this was not a good deal. It's very insulting for the city of the town of Southington to come to us and say, well, it's only worth $1 million to me now, even though they have more problems now with meeting the needs of their residents and commercial clients than they did back then, when they have restrictions now that they didn't have back then. It's very troubling to me when in June of 2014, we said no, but yet in December of 2014, they applied for a grant to the Army Corps of Engineers and on the last page said, we will be buying Patton Brook Well. Well, is there something I'm missing? Because I voted no. There was a no vote from the city of New Britain. How could they? And you know what? They really couldn't explain it. Actually, they didn't even come to our first meeting because they were misinformed. It was miscommunication, they said, at the meeting. But yet in the newspaper, they said, well, we didn't realize it was required. I presented them facts right out of their Town of Southington reports that are filed in terms of the usage of this. And they said, no, those weren't accurate numbers. So the reality is this. It's water. We talk about the quality of water in the city of New Britain. It's tops. There's no one that has better water. I just was overseas, just recently got back from there, and I open my faucet every time. We don't buy bottled water in our house because we don't need it, right? We all know the quality of our water. It's better than what you can buy in bottled water. I open our faucet every time. I go overseas, and what do? I open the faucet. And my relatives are looking at me like, no, you can't drink that. Well, I'm a little stubborn. I want to drink it out of the faucet. And so what happens? I get a little sick. This is not the first time. This happened last year, too. Maybe next year I'll learn not to drink it out of the faucet. But it just goes to show the quality of water. I don't know what the future will be. I cannot sell something that I don't even know what the value truly is because we don't have an appraisal on it. I really don't know what it's worth. I do know this. The other question that was asked, and they made a statement, and Mr. Crockett presented it, is that they made a statement that the rates were just continuously increasing exponentially. Well, folks, they weren't. As Mr. Crockett mentioned, since 2007 up until 2013, the rate that they paid was $106,924. That came from the City of New Britain's information. Okay? So does this alderman willing to do this deal with the town of Southington when I cannot rely on the veracity of their statements? Absolutely not. We have documents that so contradict statements that were made to us, okay, by the town of Southington, that I cannot. I understand the other side's willingness to want to sell it and invest it in these other wells that we have and do those things there. I understand that. My idea is we can still do that. There are other ways to do that. We don't need to sell Patton Brook Well. So to my members tonight who are voting, no matter which way you vote, if you are not 100% certain about your vote tonight, if you are not 100% certain, then I beg of you, please, to say no. because you will not have a chance to redo this vote. And I don't want to be the one 10, 20 years from now that New Britain has a water crisis and maybe Pattenbrook could have saved us. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Alderman. Would any other alderman like to comment? Alderman Sanchez.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just a couple questions through Director Gil Bly, if I may.
If Director Bly could approach the podium.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. In the resolution itself, it's stated that Pembroke is a Class 1 water company land, correct?
Yes, the 0.61 acres is listed as Class 1 water company land.
Okay, if that was the case, then this, I print this application, but this State of Connecticut Department of Public Health drinking water section would have to have been filled out, correct?
Excuse me, could you repeat that?
The State of Connecticut Department of Public Health drinking water section would that have had to have been filled out.
Is that an application to
correct.
Sell the well?
The water company land permit application.
Yes, I submitted that application and they're processing it. They're waiting actually for this vote.
For this go?
I sent in the application to the State Health Department for the sale. You have to get a permit from the Commissioner of Health to make the sale. That he decides. I sent in the application back in whenever we initiated this. And they responded back that they're waiting. It still has to go a little bit further, but they're waiting for this vote to process to go on any further with it.
So it would have to essentially go through to a vote tonight in order for this application to be processed.
Yeah, what happened was in 2014, I did the same thing. I had the application in front of the health department, and when the council voted against it, I just emailed them and said that it was voted down to not continue to try to process the permit. It was no point.
So is there any confirmation? Do both sides have to come to some agreement prior to this actually being processed and going through? So essentially
yes.
is what
yes.
I'm asking
yes.
you. Is on the application, does somebody here have to essentially say that we're okay with the sale of this land?
Yeah.
Essentially. So that is confirming that this would be the case tonight. This would be the stamp of approval
right.
for it to go through.
Right.
Okay. Well, can you explain why this council hasn't seen this before or was informed about it?
The application, I think it was in the resolution that we have to make some sort of application. We don't submit the application to you.
Just a question.
Yeah.
So the Southington spoke to this well as being part of good planning during our last meeting. That was something that I wanted to bring up because it definitely stuck in my mind. Can you speak to why they mentioned that in the subcommittee meeting at all, or is there a representative that can actually attest to that?
Southington's here to answer questions sure. for Southington. The chairman of their board.
Right. Sir, if you could. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, Bob Berkmos, and I'm here with our assistant superintendent, Bill Casarella.
Okay.
And so, what's the question?
The superintendent, I think at our last meeting, mentioned that this was a part of good planning. So essentially, I would like you to speak to that and why you felt it was good planning and why you had mentioned that.
I didn't hear your first question. Could you repeat that?
So the question was... With the question that I had asked, the superintendent had said that this was good planning, emergency planning in some respects. Can you speak to why he said that, essentially?
Good emergency planning for the New Britain well?
Yes, in your respect, absolutely.
Yeah, well, you know, I think if you look at the history of the well, especially over the past few years, we haven't really utilized the well because of the aging of the well and that the... Bill could actually speak a little bit more about the technical aspects of the well, but it's a relatively shallow well, and the water level actually is kind of minimal during drought or summer season, so we kind of use that as part of our emergency plan in case we needed a case of well went down and we needed to have water temporarily.
Thank you for that. Director Bly, one quick question. Just a quick analysis as to one speaker had mentioned that the well had been disconnected for over 30 years. You mentioned that it had been disconnected in 2000, correct? When was that actually the case?
No.
How long ago was that?
Well, I can't pinpoint the exact date. It was sometime in the 90s. What happened was that originally when we had the water crisis in Southington in July of 1979, Southington had lost about 50% of their supply. And they urgently needed more water, and New Britain came to the rescue, and we started leasing the well, and we connected it. And the only thing that separated the well from the raw water line coming down from Wilka was a closed valve, okay? And that valve was put in 1950. So we didn't think that much of it back then. Perhaps we should have been more diligent, but then what happened was we had water quality issue with bacteria in somewhere in around 1994, 1995, somewhere in that. I can't remember exactly. I remember the event, but I can't remember the year. And so I was scratching my head trying to figure out where this was coming from. And one of the things that I suddenly dawned on me was that closed valve could be leaking because valves are not, a 50-year-old valve isn't necessarily right. Watertight. So I met and I contacted Jack McManus, my predecessor here, and he agreed that we could sever the connection and air gap it so there couldn't be any possible water connection. We did that. I designed it. He modified my design. And actually, Bill here was on the working crew when we separated it. So since somewhere in the mid-1990s, the actual physical connection of the well to the pipes going into the Shuttle Meadow Reservoir were severed.
Okay. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you for that clarification. I guess back to you two gentlemen. I did ask the superintendent if they had an independent assessment completed. I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but his answer was that there would be one done after the sale of Penn.
Yeah, we would want to do our due diligence if you do decide to sell the well to us, and we want to be assured that there is a viable water source there before we would.
So can you tell me why we would wait until the sale of this asset to understand its value?
Well, not to understand the value, understand whether there's sufficient water supply there.
Okay, so this price of the land does include the sale of aquifer as well, correct?
It's that piece of land and whatever's below it, yeah.
So, and I guess one last question for Director Bly before I end my comments, please. Thank you. How much would it cost to rehab 27 wells?
The preliminary engineering grant or loan that we've gotten from the state health department is $700,000. The preliminary engineering at that point would involve not just going out and assessing a lot of the existing wells. Half of them were put in 1922 and the other half were put in 1955. And out of the 27 wells, there may be, well, I think there's less than a dozen that are actually functioning. It's they're all in a row, and there was just a suction pipe taking water out of the wells, and as the capacity of the wells broke suction, they just never went back and repaired them. The reason why is because these are auxiliary supplies that we pump when we have dry periods, and it was sufficient at the time to let it go. Either way, we have to go and start to redevelop that well field because of the capacity. The original capacity of the White Bridge well field when it was designed back in the 20s was about 5.4 million gallons a day. In 2002, we did a pump test on the well for our water supply plan, the 50-year plan that got updated again in 2009, and the result was 3.9 million gallons a day. And right now, we're lucky if we're getting 3 out of the well field. So we want to go forward and redevelop this source of supply, and that's why we think that. And the other thing about that well field is it was certified. When we were building the plant, my predecessor tested it for water quality and was able to get a letter from the sales department declaring it fit for direct public consumption, just with putting it, just like pumping the well, putting in some chlorine and fluoride, and you can pump it into the system. So the reason why you want to go to the White Bridge well field is you get 2-for-1. The first thing is the well field can be used and piped directly into the water filter plant right now. But the other thing is there's a pipe out there that's a finished water pipe, and we could connect it to that. And with properly redeveloped and putting in the proper chemical treatment in the well house, it could be pumped into the 24-inch main, which serves comes back into New Britain and also serves customers along the way, including Bristol. So you do get two for the price of one when you redevelop that well field. The Pembroke well field will never, ever be able to be piped into the distribution system. We would have to run a pipe all the way from Harness Drive in Southington, all the way up Mine Hollow Road, all the way around Shuttle Meadow Reservoir before we could get into the tank. And it's most of that's ledge.
Okay. Thank you, John. Yes, sir.
I'd like to just add something. I've been with the Water Department for 42 years now. 25 years was overseeing New Britain Well. Just to give you a little history of it, our six wells right now in a drought period, which you would think this summer, we have 20 feet of water available above the water screen in the well. In 1990, in August of 1990, we were running New Britain Well. We got down to 19 inches. At that time, Mr. Bly, we had to get a gauge that measured in inches, not feet. So the available water is a question to us. And that's why Bob said that before we'd buy that well, we'd have to see what we have in that aquifer.
You bring a good point, and I'm glad you spoke to that. But one question that I did actually want to bring up because it was brought to my attention. Now, would we, New Britain, obviously, be selling to the town of Southington or the water department? Okay, that's all. Just quickly. I mean, we've already discussed that water is a diminishing natural resource that's only increasing in value, folks. That's something that I want to clarify. Yes, sir.
I'd like to just make a comment too. Alderman Carlozzi, and I was in the back of the room when a citizen spoke about the increase for the lease for the well. I listened to the recording that he had. The way it was presented to us, I wasn't talking about past, even though there were increases in the past, but going forward, that well, the lease that was presented to us was going to be increased. And it was going to be increased significantly. And matter of fact, that I just want to make that very clear because it sounded like I was saying something that wasn't true, and that is what happened.
So thank you for your clarity.
Thank you.
Just quickly, I want to thank all the alderpersons sitting here. And we all did our homework, and I know we're going to vary in opinion. And that's government. But I do know that it's a diminishing natural resource, and it's only increasing the value. And we're talking about water. We see the value in that. You know, people are racing throughout this country to buy assets, and here we are looking to sell them. I think a prime example of that is T. Moon Pickens, who is absolutely leading in the nation in purchasing and buying up water assets. You know, folks, once it's sold, it's gone forever. And I think Alderman Carlozzi had stated that today. We may not need it today, but this short-term site can lead to long-term ramifications. I respect everybody's opinion up here. But if we're going to help them, I'd like to lease to them at the bare minimum. And I understand your sentiment, and I respect it.
I was going to say, I hope everybody understands exactly why we approach you the second time. We one more chance. You know, if you want to sell it, it's been in our possession for the past 35 years. And, you know, if we're going to make another major investment in this well by reconditioning it, we want to own it.
Sir, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Alderman Sanchez. Would any other alderperson who has not spoken yet like to address? Alderman Naples.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just have a couple of points to make. Most of them have been covered. There's been a lot of talk about the value of the well. What has value, and it's been discussed in several emails that I've gotten since we tabled this last time, from a bunch of interested residents, and I've learned a lot in the last month. We're not rushing to do anything. As Alderman Salerno said, Alderman Giannantonio, our hourly pay is going down at the rate we've been spending on this one issue. And I learned a lot. Most of the council knows my history. My dad worked for the water department for 40 years, 1929 to 1969. Those were the real growth years for the water department because we had factories. We needed a lot of water. We ended up buying lots of property outside in New Britain. There was one comment from the public, we want to use our own property for water. Well, we happen to own more property outside of New Britain than New Britain encompasses, mostly because it's watershed property that was bought during that time period and before. So our forefathers and my one were pretty conscious stewards of the water system, and that has continued since he left it in 1969. So to say that we don't care much about the water of New Britain is an insult to me, and I'm sure some of our other members. The question about the value of the well. What Southington is doing, or wants, from what I understand, is they want the rights to the registration for the Patton Brook well. The well itself is one thing. If we were to improve it, you can use the same registration, according to Director Bly, if you stay within a radius of 200 feet of where the existing well is. So we can't go out 200 feet in New Britain because we only have a half an acre there, which doesn't have much wildlife on it, and we don't worry about that. But we can only go out 50 feet or so to improve the well for our use. Southington can, on the same permit, make a whole bunch of test bores out to 200 feet. So that's a whole different area so that they can tap and find the best place to use the aquifer. The value of the well, we have one eligible seller, City of New Britain, one eligible buyer, as Alderman Giantonio mentioned. So the value of the well is whatever those two parties are willing to agree to sell it for or buy it for. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. At the moment, the resolution we're deliberating on and voting on says that the price of the well is to be the well to be sold for not less than $1 million. That's what it says. That's what it said originally. It hasn't changed to my knowledge. So I will be supporting this after much discussion and much valuable interaction with a lot of residents over emails. I'm sorry that I didn't get to answer every one. There were just too many of them. But thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Naples. Any other alderperson? Alderman Polkowski.
Thank you, Your Honor, through you. I was originally the chairman of the Board of Water Commissioners, Homer White, the first speaker that a lot of you were in a disagreement with. That was my position before I was elected to alderman. I supported this sale back then. I'm also supporting it now. I feel like this is a good investment for us where you have to cut your losses when you start looking at redevelopment costs and where you can get the most bang for your buck. As Director Bly stated, we have water rights in Bristol up to 5.4 million gallons per day. We can only pump 3 million. So that leaves a difference of 2.4. Well, this well that we're trying to sell is only 1.2. So already we're doubling the amount of capacity that we could get by reinvesting this money wisely. All of us are from New Britain. We know that the city doesn't have a lot of money. We have to use our money wisely, and I feel like this is a wise choice for us to do it, and I will be supporting the sale tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Polkowski. Alderman Sanders.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to thank everybody for coming this evening and my colleagues. This is probably one of the hardest things that we've deliberated and debated in my short time on the council, but even I think for some of the people who've served longer terms. You know, I have a lot of respect for you, Your Honor, your vision, Director Bly as well, your knowledge and experience with the Water Department is unbelievable. I mean, I was wowed by the tours. I also took the tour. I also saw the facility. The only problem that I have, because this all, I mean, it really sounds good and it makes sense. You know, it makes sense to eliminate something that is, you know, at this point costing us money to reinvest. You know, you talk about one well, 1.2 million gallons, 27 wells, 6.6 million gallons. And this is where my wiring inside me makes me, you know, need a little bit more information. because 27 wells, the average is 244,000 gallons per well, which makes each well less valuable. So, again, you know, going back and forth and even stating to a point that I was looking forward to bringing this to fruition once the information was given, I think that, you know, we have a New Britain interested in selling. We have Southington interested in buying. And I think that warrants an independent evaluation. What's the other word I was looking for? We do feasibility studies. I think that would be something that would help myself make the decision. I think it would help us explain to people who need the right information to be comfortable with something like this. I think I would have to say that I commend the organizers for putting this together. You got a great response. And I did mention to one of the organizers that I did try and share some information on your rally page, and it was taken down not once, not twice, but three times. And you know, that was disingenuous to the people that are here, because a lot of people came and spoke about Tilcon, and this tonight's not about Tilcon. You're going to have an opportunity to speak about Tilcon. This is about the well sale. So I just kind of had to add to that. And I think, again, I wasn't going to mention this, but you know, what we did at the last committee meeting was recommend a neutral sale. And Mr. Mathis mentioned, you know, the Herald's article about recommends the sale of the well. And I wasn't happy with that, nor was I happy with their piece of, you know, their thoughts and their own editorial, because I think that without them being part of this process, they really, they can have their opinion, but they don't have any facts to back that up. So, you know, I like what's being proposed, but unfortunately, without having that outside independent study, I won't be able to support this tonight. I was hoping that that was something that would be, you know, done or at least considered. You know, I've heard helping out our neighbors. You know, I'd be willing to reduce the lease until, or reduce the lease period, as long as it doesn't cost us money. But I agree with some people that giving up an asset, a water asset, whether it's good, bad, you know, we don't really don't know. You know, we kind of have a he said, she said, literally in this case, both with highly respected and knowledgeable, I might add. But I think for myself and people in the public, it would be better if we had that outside independent study. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Sanders. Would any other alderperson like to speak who has not spoken once yet? Alderman Carlozzi.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just have a quick question, if I may. Your Honor, through you to someone from the town of Southington Water Department.
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen. I, during Alderman Sanchez's questions, I heard something, and I want to be clear. I want to be clear about what I heard. Alderman Sanchez asked if you all had done an appraisal, a study of the well, and you mentioned once tonight, once we vote on this tonight, you all then will do your study, your appraisals, your whatever.
Not an appraisal. We will do our due diligence, and we will drill test wells to see if there's an adequate water supply in them.
Is there any reason why that would not have done before tonight's vote?
Yeah, there is. I mean, it could cost us $20,000-$30,000 to do that.
They don't own. Have you ever bought a house?
Yeah.
Did you have an appraisal done before you bought the house?
Not an appraisal.
I know, but I'm just
Alderman
saying. Thank you, Your Honor. I guess my point is.
Excuse me. You know, if I could just interrupt. The only thing we want is you guys, the council, the yes or no. That's all we're asking. Yes or no. We've done this. We've been here. You know, we've asked. You know, if you're interested in selling the well, if you are, terrific. Absolutely. We love you guys. If you don't want to sell it, we still love you guys. But, again, I hope you understand the reasoning behind this. We've had this well for the past over 30 years. It's something that we want to put – we've had it into our water supply plan. We want to continue. We want to refurbish it. We want to upgrade it. We may have to drill a new well somewhere in order to get adequate water supply. That's what we want. And you guys, I commend you, because I think every one of you have done your due diligence and really looked into this, and I appreciate you doing that. But what we're looking for is yes or no. Before we close the book and say thank you very much, we're going home. That's really all we're looking for. And we're not trying to pull a fast one on anybody. This is what we've done. We've been partners you've been our landlord for the past 35 years, and now we want to buy it. You ever rent the house and you lived in it for 35 years and then decided you want to buy it? Maybe this is the same thing before you remodel it. And that's kind of what we're asking. And it's I think it's evident, over the past few years when we had it, we used it less and less and less.
Please
refrain.
Thank you, sir. Your Honor, please, folks. Your Honor, first of all, I want to offer my apologies to the council. You sensed my sarcasm, and yes, you were right. And the mayor knows me well enough, and so my apologies to the chamber and to anyone and to you gentlemen as well. Let me rephrase where I was going to go. I guess the city of New Britain has been through quite a bit on this process. We have anguished over it, whether we agree or whether we're going to vote yes or no. I think everyone has anguished over it. That's our duty. I know the mayor has taken a lot of questions about it and taken some heat on this as well. But what I don't understand is this due diligence piece. Normally in a commercial transaction, which this is a commercial transaction, we're selling a commercial piece of property. It's not personal property, it's commercial. You do your due diligence in advance. I've never known of a situation where you go ahead and you go through the contract and all of that, and you have paperwork signed, and then you do your due diligence because it's going to cost you $20,000 or $30,000, and then possibly, depending on how you get their report, you may decide that you want to back out of the deal. I don't quite frankly understand that, and I guess that's just another piece of why it's this information that just doesn't seem to make sense to me, and this is why I'm voting no. And thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Alderman. Alderman Giantonio.
So thank you, Your Honor, through you to my colleague Alderman Carlozzi. Use the analogy of buying a house, which I find very interesting. When you buy a house, you don't do an inspection the day you go and look at it. You get a contract, and then once you have a signed contract, you do an inspection. I think that's what Southington's doing. But also, I'd like to direct this question, Your Honor, through you to Attorney Bizarro. Attorney Bizarro, is this out of the ordinary that we would, or a municipality would, enter into a contract before doing a study such as what they're proposing?
No, I think you just summarized it very concisely. That is that, and I think the problem is that we're probably collapsing two different parts of this transaction into one. We're not, if the council were to approve the resolution tonight, you're not thereby consummating a sale to Southington. What you're doing is you're authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement to sell the well. So it'd be no different than any other deal that we do, Alderman, where the mayor's authorized to enter into a contract, and then we always have due diligence periods. The buyers always want some period to do their due diligence, and then we have a closing. So I suspect that's what the officials from Southington are suggesting. So I don't see anything out of the ordinary. They're being asked to change their position to their financial detriment, to the tens of thousands of dollars. They're going to not. No one's going to do that. If you've ever bought a house or a car or anything on eBay, if you're asked to spend money on due diligence on an item, you're not going to do that unless you know you have a deal. So it's in line with everything we do.
So just to kind of reiterate what you're saying, in most sales of property that we execute as a city, we authorize the mayor to enter into negotiations, and most times there is some sort of inspection process before the deal is closed.
Right. This is not the resolution tonight would be to authorize the sale. Then you have a due diligence period, then you have an actual closing. So I think we just have to be careful that we're not mixing up those two concepts here. Okay.
Thank you, Attorney Bizarro. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Alderman Giantonio. Alderman Pabon.
You know, for 3 months I was against selling this well. But today I talked to the guy that takes care of that well, and he told me if we can get $1 million taken and run. Because all we right now, out of that well, people talk we're gonna get 1.2 million gallons of water. He said the motors get rated for that. The most we probably get is 750,000 gallons. So I think it's, you know, I'm gonna vote for selling it. Even if I lose my votes. Oh, where's my cousin? She left.
Okay. Alderman Rosato.
Do you, Your Honor, to Director Black, just a quick question for you, Director Black. I think it's safe to say, and again, there's been various questions that have been asked, but I think a lot of it has been concentrated on the fact of how Southington is going to benefit out of this. Isn't it safe to say, considering what you're trying to do in the Bristol plant and trying to get those 27 wells up and running, that ultimately, if you look at the full scale of it, New Bern stands to benefit a lot more, and also the fact that whatever is not operational in currently in Bristol, that it would probably take us a lot shorter time to get those up and running compared to what Southington has to go through in getting Pattonbrook well up and running as well, correct?
Right, yes.
So, well, that's an easy answer. So with that being said, I think it's a no-brainer for me. Again, I talked to people in my district to hear their sentiments. I provided them the facts as well for those that were skeptical about it. I think it's a win-win for the city of New Bern. If you look at every single fact behind it, the fact that, again, we're going to be able to have 27 wells in Bristol, that property that we own, up and running. And it's not going to take the amount of time to get that up and running compared to what it would take for Pattonbrook well to ever work if we ever decided to use it. So with that being said, I'd rather go with the 6 point whatever million gallons a day than to stick with something that we're not even using and we have no intention of using anywhere in the future. So I'm voting in support unequivocally for this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Rosato. Alderman Naples.
Through you, Your Honor, don't go away, Director Bly. I just have one question. The way I understand it, to follow up on Alderman Carlos's issue, even after this is negotiated, if we voted to sell it, if it was negotiated the sale, I understand a condition of the sale is that that the test borings that Southington does produce something satisfactory to them, or that's their home inspection, they can back out. Is that true?
Well, that would be part of their negotiations. That's what they're proposing. There's no reason to believe that they won't find the same type of geographical or geological formation. Really what it comes down to is the thickness of the really porous material that's in there. The existing well has about 10 feet of really porous sand and gravel, cobbles, stones. It's a function of when the glacier melted, it lays down, this stuff comes down in a layer. It might be a little thicker in one spot and a little thinner in another, and that will determine where they're going to put the well and whether or not they can successfully do what they try to do.
Okay. Is it your belief that one of the things in Britain we'll get out of this, even if they back out, is we'll get access to their test boring data so we don't have to spend the $50,000 or whatever it is to do the same thing?
That's what I'm recommending as part of the negotiation, is that as part of it, if it's going to be contingent on that we could at least get that information from them, you know, get that released if they decide that they don't want to buy the well for their purposes, because that would be useful for us down the road if we did retain it. Because right now, if I was to re-drill the well, I'd have to do the same thing. I'd have to go out and put in test borings. The only difference, as you stated very accurately, is we only have a half acre to play with. Exactly. They've got the whole open space. They've got a 200-foot radius to work in.
Okay, thank you. My only other comment is to thank the people who stuck around this time for the first time to watch sausage being made. It isn't easy.
Okay, this is a voice vote. So all
Your
those
Honor, roll call vote.
Do I have three aldermen to stand and support that? I need three of you to stand. Thank you very much. We have three, Mr. Clerk. Process and procedure, folks. We need three aldermen to stand to request a roll call vote.
Okay. Alderperson Giantonio.
Yes.
Smedley.
Yes.
Carlozzi.
No.
Black.
No.
Collins.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
Hargraves.
Yes.
Naples.
Yes.
Pabon.
Yes.
Polkowski.
Yes.
Rosato.
Yes.
Salvio.
Yes.
Sanchez.
No.
Sanders.
No.
Salerno.
Yes.
11-4, Your Honor.
Thank you. Motion carries. And to resolution number 2, Alderman Giantonio.
Thank you, Your Honor. I make a motion to accept and adopt resolution number 2.
Seconded by Alderman Collins.
Thank you, Your Honor. Resolution number 2 has to deal with the city's anti-blight program. We are making some changes to make it more in compliance with city policy and state law. Most of it is language changes. There was nothing that was lessening the blight code or anything that we could enforce. You know, we discussed it at length in committee, and Director Lupo was there to answer questions, and I urge adoption.
Thank you very much, Alderman Giantonio. Are there any questions? Alderman Carlozzi.
Thank you, Your Honor. Unfortunately, I was not at the committee meeting as I was getting back from my travels. So as I understand it, we had the major issue that we had with this, Your Honor, is the amount of the fee that the city cannot legally retain. The fee that was in the resolution that was passed years ago at $250. through you, Your Honor, if I can, I'm going to ask some of my questions to Alderman Giantonio. If that's okay, is that correct,
sure.
Alderman?
Through you, Your Honor. Yes, Alderman, that is correct.
Okay.
At $250, we would have to give that fee to the state and not to the city. By changing it to, I believe it's $90, we can then collect that money.
So, I see in page 4. I guess 7.4, 7-44, where all the language that has to refer with the fine of $250 is all struck out, and now there's $90 per violation. There was also things about liens and extra interest and all of that. Will we be able to? I mean, I also see the insertion of the government, the Connecticut General Statutory lien will accumulate. So, is that the interest, and is there a state statute that we will? That we need to use, as opposed to what we had in the original resolution, the original language.
I am not a lawyer.
Okay.
I will answer the question as it was explained to us in committee, and I will ask Attorney Pizarro to chime in if I am wrong.
That's perfectly fine.
What we were told was that inserting that we are going to follow the Connecticut General Statutes on liens would take care of and clean up all of the language that was above. Because some of the language that was above might be in conflict with what was in that general statutory lien portion. And Attorney Bizarro, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
You know, without going back and taking a look at this, and I'm not really sure about the language that was pre-existing, whether that was language that we as a city came up with sort of as a policy decision. And maybe along the lines, you know, we figured out that it may have been to a certain extent in conflict with the statute, or whether that was language that's lifted verbatim from the statute or some previous version thereof. So I wouldn't be able to tell you that. But what I could say is that the language that you have now in there, the proposed amendment to it, would make it very clean in that it references whatever the statute says. And whatever the maximum that the city has in terms of authority pursuant to that statute. So I think that would be the smart way to go.
Thank you, Counselor. Your Honor, I know that we've had this discussion over this $250 item. I know that came up in a prior, let me see, it came up, I think, under your first administration, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. When we had it, it came to committee. It was then tabled, and during the remainder of that original, your first administration, we never took it off the table,
right.
So it stayed there. We have some other things that remained on that table that probably should come back these days. But anyway, so I know $250 was discussed over and over and over again. I guess part of me is trying to figure out, well, it was we couldn't do it, but we've been doing it, and we've had some success with certain properties. I guess my question at this point, Your Honor, is through you, if you feel as you can answer it. Have we been enforcing the 250, or what have we been doing with some of the properties that are out there? Because I don't see Mr. Lupo here tonight, unless he's behind the
counter. Very accurate answer. You'd have to ask Director Lupo.
Is he here?
Unless Justin Dorsey, my Deputy Chief of Staff, can answer
that
question.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
No problem.
I don't usually get to do this. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. I think you understood my question. I mean, have we?
Would you just mind restating it?
Well, have we had success over the last couple of years with this with this particular ordinances, the way that they've been written, in collecting money?
They haven't been collected at 250. They've been being collected at 90 because, as explained by Mr. Lupo in the committee meeting, there's an additional, not only a state statute, but a city ordinance saying that there will be no fine imposed over $99. So they've been being collected at the rate of $90.
Okay, then that's fine. That answers that then. Okay, great. I'm over that particular issue.
Okay.
My next question, just to try to understand. So we've also eliminated some other things. One of them is collapsing or missing walls, floors, or roofs. I had a little discussion with Alderman Gentonio prior to this. If the intent was just to go after and correct this 250, why are some of these other things being eliminated from the statutes that we had originally? Certainly, Mr. Dorsey, if you want to answer, that's fine.
Yes, Alderman. That was also mentioned by Director Lupo at the committee meeting. And the reason that they were removed was the building department has the authority under the state building code to enforce that without it having to actually be in the ordinance. So they have the power. If they see a building that's about to fall down, they could go in there and say, well, everybody away, it's condemned under the state building code.
Okay. That's great. Thank you very much. You know, I also want to mention, so again, I wasn't at that meeting, and I apologize for asking some of these questions tonight. Some of the insertions I think that I really, really like is one that the lien under Section 7-43, that the lien be recorded as a lien and will take precedence over any other encumbrances except municipal tax assessments. I think that's really important. It wasn't as strong prior to that. So thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Your Honor, for me to ask some of my committee questions tonight.
You got it, Alderman. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dorsey.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Dorsey.
Any other questions? The motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolution number 2A, Alderman Polkowski.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to make a motion to accept and adopt Resolution 2A.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Salero.
This resolution is for the Polish Council of Greater New Britain. It is to issue a license for their annual Dzięki Festival that are going to be held Saturday, August 27th, and Sunday, August 28th. It's a great time. There's a lot of vendors there. There's a lot of good food. I highly encourage everyone here and everyone on Nutmeg TV to come out and bardzo dziękuję.
Thank you, Alderman. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolution number 5, Alderman Gentonio.
I make a motion to accept and refer to the Committee on Planning, Zoning, and Housing, Your Honor.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Salerno.
Thank you, Your Honor. This has to do with a proposed amendment to the Code and Ordinances to eliminate the HUD Grants Committee. I never understood why we had the HUD Grants Committee in the first place. It is a committee made up of the full council, so we basically referred things to ourselves, which never really made much sense to me. I think we'll go to committee and talk about this, but I think it will streamline the process. Everything will stay the same as far as public hearings and what we're required to do under HUD guidelines. It will just make it a lot easier for us to do the business of the city that we need to do. And I urge referral.
Thank you very much, Alderman Gentonio. Any further questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of the referral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolution number 6 goes to Alderman Collins.
Thank you, Your Honor. Make a motion to accept and adopt resolution number 6.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Salvio.
Thank you. This resolution has to do with allowing us to receive funds from the Local Prevention Council funding in the amount of $7,116 from the Substance Abuse Action Council. These funds will be used to support alcohol, tobacco, and bullying prevention activities, included Take Back the Streets, Abilities Walk, and Bike Safety Day. There is no match obligation on the part of the city for these funds, and I urge adoption.
Thank you very much, Alderman Collins. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolution number 7, Alderman Giantoli.
Thank you, Your Honor. I make a motion to accept and refer to the Committee on Planning, Zoning, and Housing.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Rosato.
Thank you, Your Honor. I am happy to stand up and propose this resolution as a proud alumni of St. Thomas Aquinas. This has to do with the sale of the 74 Kelsey Street building to Chrysalis Center Real Estate Corporation. I think that name will sound familiar to many people because they were just before us recently to buy the Cortland Arms property. And much like that, they are committed to putting a lot of money into our community to rehab what is a dilapidated property. You know, we will talk about this in committee. We'll hear from them on their proposals. I'm sure they'll come with drawings and all that good stuff for us to talk about. And I urge referral, and I can't wait till that building is fixed up because as an alumni, it makes me sad every time I drive by it. So, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Alderman. I'm sure Zena in the back can...
She's nodding at me the entire time I was talking.
Any further questions or comments on the referral? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolution number 8 is Alderman Carlozzi.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to encourage the acceptance and adoption of item number 8, please.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Collins.
Thank you, Your Honor. This is a $94,000 grant from the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection grant. For the completion of A.W. Stanley Park Multi-Use Trail, there is also an in-kind services from the City of New Britain for $24,252 for a total project cost of $118,252. This work will extend the existing trail at A.W. Stanley, the 3,415-foot paved trail, by paving an additional 1,138, creating a complete 1.13-mile loop around the pond. So it's a construction grant, increasing the expenses and increasing the revenue, and I urge its adoption. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Very exciting project. Any other questions or comments? Alderman Hargraves. Mr. Parks and Rec.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just wanted to say that the most important part I like about this is that it will extend a trail to the Village Square Drive. Those residents don't have a neighborhood park that they can access. Good, they're a secluded part of the city, so it's great that they'll be able to use our great park with a dedicated trailway. Thank you, State of Connecticut, for that.
Thank you, Alderman. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Alderman Giantonio.
Thank you, Your Honor. I make a motion to accept and adopt resolution number 9.
Seconded by Alderman Collins.
Thank you, Your Honor. This resolution has to do with us accepting a grant for $12,700 for historical records retention. I feel like I do this probably 3 or 4 times a year, but my hat's off to our town clerk, Mark Bernacki, for going after these grants and getting these grants so we can scan historical documents and build an online database of all our old records. And you know, I applaud him for bringing us in our town clerk's office into the right century, and I urge approval.
Thank you very much, Alderman. Any questions or comments?
Yes.
Alderman Salerno.
May I please? Yeah. Thank you, through Your Honor. And just a compliment again to town clerk. I received a comment from one of my constituents not too long ago. They had come down. It's amazing. They've actually lived in the city of New Britain, hadn't had the opportunity to use the town clerk's office, which was amazing to me. But when he came back, he had to call me up and tell me how wonderful your staff was. And I think it's just an opportunity to be able to say that. And there he was just smitten by them, actually. He just couldn't believe how cooperative. And he said, it's really nice to see that in public service. And I just think that you deserve that accolade, and please take that back to everyone else.
Thank you very much. Any further questions or concerns? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolution number 10, Alderman Giantonio.
Thank you, Your Honor. I make a motion to accept and adopt resolution number 10.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Polkowski.
Thank you, Your Honor. Resolution number 10 has to do with setting of the charter revision questions for the November ballot. I would like to start first by thanking the Charter Revision Committee for all the hard work that they did. I know they spent many nights working on their proposed recommendations, took you know, a lot of input from, you know, us as council members, as well as member of the public at all their public hearings, and I applaud them for the work that they got to. This is really to set three questions on the ballot. Question one being, should the mayor's term be extended from a two-year term to a four-year term? Question two, should we change the term of office of tax collector from a two-year term to a four-year term? And then four is around some language changes to the charter to make it conform to state statutes and just offer other clarifications. I urge adoption. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions or comments on this motion? Alderman Carlozzi.
Thank you, Your Honor. So I also want to thank the Charter Revision Commission for their meetings. They had quite a few of them over a very short period of time. You know, the charter used to be probably 200-300 pages. It's now, in 2000, it was condensed down to this booklet. And along with that, a lot of the city government was eliminated, including the power of lay people, I call it, the people that are on boards and commissions. A lot of that, under that charter revision, that power was all basically gone up to the mayor's office. So the charter revision is very, very important. When the report came out, one of my questions was, question number one, great. We're actually printing the question. Shall the city charter be changed and amended for the term of office of the mayor from 2 to 4? Question number two, for the term of the tax collector from 2 to 4 years. But question three, to me, and I asked that it be broken up into different questions. Question three is, shall the city charter be amended to make changes to conform to state statutes and make technical, administrative, and other changes and clarifications? Well, I don't quite understand how we can encompass 11 changes. That question covers 11 changes in the city charter. And those 11 changes are Section 1-4, subsection F, Section 4-2, subsections N and O, and it goes on and on. Some new pieces, new provisions. So I had a meeting with Alderman Salerno, and we discussed breaking it out into maybe five questions, sort of grouping some of these questions together. But actually, instead of doing this explanatory text, to me, the best text that you can have is the actual question on the ballot. That would be the best way for people to know exactly what they're saying yes or no to. And we left that a meeting with, let me work on this, maybe we can accommodate four or five questions. It's not burdensome for the ballot. Then, of course, as I mentioned a couple of times tonight, I was away. And now we have this, again, all this all-encompassing question, and that's going to handle 11 sections of the charter being changed with some new additions. I'm not going to support this. I'm not going to support this in November. I don't feel that that's the way to do it. I don't want to leave it up to some person from City Hall to do explanatory text. The best text in my the best way that you can ask the question is to actually put the 11 changes, group them up, because some of them are in categories, but group them together and put them on the ballot in November. I'm not supporting this. I don't think that that's the way we should be doing it. Some of these are very good changes, and some of them are needed changes. But here's one that I think is very important. Currently, under our city charter, there's a compensation review committee that the city council has had for years. Right now, it's done in an election year. It's done in an odd number year. Well, one of these changes is to change that to an even numbered year, which is a non-election year. I was the chairman the last time on that Charter Revision Commission, the Compensation Committee. I was the chairman of that. We went through meetings after meetings after meetings after meetings. We did an analysis of 19 to 20 towns. We came up with a recommendation. It was killed in committee because it just wasn't politically expedient to do it. That, because it was election year. That's the honesty of what happened. And I sat on another committee meeting maybe two terms before that. And we decided to do nothing. if you have the conviction that there should be some increases, and I did have the conviction that there should be some increases for some of our elected officials, then do it. And I think there was some foresight, although I disagree with a lot of what was done in this particular charter in 2000, in here it was established that the compensation committee of the city council would meet in the election year and make those recommendations that then would fall and go into effect at the next election. And this changes that, and I just don't agree with that. I just don't agree with that. And I don't agree with the questions not being broken out and being clear to the public. So I'm not supporting this.
Thank you, Alderman Salerno.
Yes, thank you through you, Madam Chairman. A couple of things, just a point of information for Alderman Carlozzi as well. We did have the conversation, and I think we did some efforts to try to put together a third question. And I just want to give a perspective on this, and I think, again, commend the Charter Revision for their efforts throughout. The first two questions are fairly clear and simple. I concur with that. The third question was not, in the sense that it's going to be a difficult process. I would like to call it, this is an interpretation, doesn't mean everyone's going to agree with this, but much of what happened in the Charter Revision was what we call a really clean housekeeping effort within further dealing with what the Charter is about. And again, if you look at it, you get an opportunity. If you haven't, obviously, it's about some deletion. It's about taking out some amendments. It's about matters that are going to actually help clear-cut, if you will, how the Charter works. That's really complicated to explain to the general public. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. That's part of our responsibility in the course of educating during a Charter Revision process. In fact, that probably will be done through a variety of means, whether it's through actual discussions, whether the council further discusses those aspects of it. We have through November to be able to do that. I mean, it's a difficult process to be able to get those kinds of technicalities out to individuals. I think throwing a baby out with the bathwater on that in terms of saying, well, we have 11 items that really are going to benefit the Charter, but at the same time we're going to find ourselves having a difficult time explaining it. There are things that are difficult to explain. Again, it's about public participation. Again, it's about individuals coming. It's about people being available. And, you know, I'm certainly going to do my effort to be able to explain that third question. When we put in, and this is just a kind of a philosophy, when we put in more than so many questions in a Charter Revision process, it further confuses the general public about that. There is some due diligence that we have to present, and I believe that that's part of how we get to that third question, is being able to explain it. And that's pretty much how it was initially worded. That's just my take on it. I am going to support this in terms and do everything I can to reach every member of the community that I possibly can to have them understand what that third question is about.
Thank you, Alderman Salerno. Alderman Sanders.
Through you, Your Honor, maybe to Corporation Counsel, I think the clarification on this, this question number three is to make the necessary changes to conform with state statutes. I remember being on the Civil Service Commission, and there were things that we did that we weren't allowed to do by the state because they were in our city charter. And I think what question three does, and it does, I don't think it needs to be explained to the public, this is basically just asking if we should conform with the state. And maybe Gennaro can clear that up, because this
I think the appropriate person would be Attorney Chudwick, who is...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I thought Corporation Counsel. Since you're here, Attorney Chudwick, please. You would.
We have the A-team with us tonight, right. The varsity. Cool.
Thank you. It's Bruce Chadwick from Shipman Goodman. And we've been pleased to be involved in this process since February, when you appointed the Charter Revision Commission and worked with the commission in doing their report. The third question is not only just to make sure we conform with state statute, but also to, as Alderman Salerno said, to clarify some things in the charter, move description of departments around. It really was sort of a cleanup of not only complying with state statute, but also just for clarification and technical correction. So, in a way, it wasn't just to conform with state statutes. It was to do other things, but that was one piece of it as well.
Okay.
That answer your question?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was hoping to avoid that answer. It doesn't always work that way. Well, but maybe we can just clarify that, so we're clearing up only state statutes. I don't know if that's possible or not. But, I mean, I know it was very frustrating when our boards and commissions try and make decisions based on what is in our charter and then find out that those things can't be accomplished because the state doesn't allow us to do so. So we definitely need to clean up this language. But thank you. I have no other questions.
Thanks. And I think the next two resolutions will help provide the groundwork for how to explain that to the voters that do. There will be information that is available to them when they get to the polls explaining each section, and that's what the next resolution. Thanks. Any other alderperson, Alderman Naples?
I just threw you, Your Honor, to the expert. Do we have any idea, following up on Alderman Sanders, how many of those 11 items do relate to state statutes that we're trying to clean up?
I could work on that as we speak. I mean, I can.
I mean, is it more than half, or what would you?
Probably not more than half. I'd say again, most of these were cleanups of a description of departments and clarification of things. One of the resolutions that you have in front of you is to approve the detailed list of charter sections to be modified, and then that leads into the next step, which would be to do the explanatory text, which we'll be talking about each one of these. I think that the best place to look at where the changes were described were in the Charter Revision Commission report that you approved on July 13th. And, for instance, moving the centralized purchasing system to a new section under the Department of Finance was one change. Moving the description of the Parks and Recs Department from one section of the charter to another section of the charter. Of the ones relating to state statute, for instance, there was one regarding the charging an interest rate for the Water Commission over overdue payments. Went to the 1.5% per month, which is consistent with property tax interest and penalties and so forth. So I'd say probably of all of those, maybe two, three, or four of them, I'd say, to conform with state statute. A lot of the other ones were clean up.
Okay, thank you. Okay. All the ones you mentioned are coming back to me now. They do. They made sense at the time, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I'm going on somewhat blind trust. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
Alderman Carlozzi.
Thank you, Your Honor. So just to clarify, yes, there are some state statute items. There are some very small items as well in there. I think what Alderman Salerno really speaks to my question of some of these are difficult to explain. Well, then the best explanation is to just put the question on the ballot. And again, you know, there are some things that are reorganizing, some of the reorganizations that we've done. I mean, there are some moving, as Attorney Chudzwick just mentioned, moving some of the boards around and where they are in the charter. So, yes, that's all true. No reason why we shouldn't be able to just put it on the ballot. We should be able to put it on the ballot. My objection is to throwing 11 changes all into one question, okay? And one change that I think is really quite material is in 4-2, the powers of the Common Council, and eliminating the Compensation Committee from being in an election year to a non-election year. I think that's very important. I think that should be very clear on the ballot. So that is my objection, and that's why Alderman Salerno and I sat and discussed making some other questions, grouping some pieces together, those that worked with one another, because I certainly have no problem with that. But if you're going to throw all of those questions into one, then that means I'm voting to also approve changing how the Compensation Committee does, and I absolutely am totally against that. I think we should have the power of our convictions when the Compensation Committee meets, okay, to do what we need to do our work, and then to explain our vote to the public. I think doing this is just not good government, and I have a real problem with throwing that question into this big group with some explanatory text. Put the question on the ballot and let the people be able to read the question, please. And that's why I will not support this or the future or the other two resolutions that come after it. That's my objection. Thank you very much,
Alderman Giantonio.
Through you, Your Honor, to Mr. Chudwick, is this common practice to do this like this in a charter revision scenario?
I would say it's done. It is common practice. There are some municipalities that try to break up individual items into multiple questions, and as Alderman Salerno had indicated, that can be very confusing when you have 13 or 14 or 20 questions on the ballot, especially in an election year. I mean, a presidential election year that's coming up, it'll be crazy enough the way it's going to be. So it's very common to try and group questions into the more substantive and important issues that people would want to be dealing with into separate questions, and then lump all the ones into one and deal with that through the explanatory text and the public education process. As part of explanatory text, not only will we be working with the town clerk and putting that together and with Corporation Council, but also there'll have to be posters at every polling place with the explanatory text so that as voters walk in, they will be able to see what the explanation of the different questions would be. That's required by state statute as well.
And then we are, I know this will come up in the other questions, but we are required to also publish those questions and publish the explanatory text here at City Hall on our website.
It's got to be
whatever for public
right,
inspection exactly. as well ahead of the
absolutely and explanatory text has to go into all absentee ballots as well.
Okay.
So that's why we're here in August, because in order to get ready for the election cycle with the town clerk, all that has to be done pretty quickly in order to get ready for the election in November.
Thank you, Mr. Shelby. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thanks. We also should send a thank you to Nutmeg TV, who has offered to do a special show dedicated to all of the explanations for the potential changes in the charter, featuring the members of our Charter Revision Commission and Chairman Carrier. Alderman Hargraves, did you have your hand up?
No, I did.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, I have to agree with Carlo that it can be confusing, and maybe some of the voters will be confused with that question three, but I don't think we can put 15 different questions on the ballot. We already have, it's going to be, I don't know what other offices, we got president, we got state senates, we got state, these people do not want to be sitting in a booth for 5-10 minutes. I know for certain I don't. And then it'll get to the point where they're not reading the questions. So if it does need to be regrouped, we'll have to look at it again, but I don't think we need to add many more questions, if anything. Thank you.
Alderman Rosato.
Briefly, thank you, Your Honor. Just briefly, I'd ask a question about where would this be placed on the ballot, and the questions will be preceding on the ballot before you vote for president or anything else. So I think that's always good, too. That's one of the, if I'm not mistaken, Your Honor, the attorney was there. On the top, yeah, it'll be on the top of the ballot from what I'm hearing, right on the top of the ballot before they're able to vote for any other office. I think it'll be too much to add additional questions. I think it's just up to us to educate the public, those that are for it, those that are against it. You educate the people to go on your side. That's what's the beauty of the political process, is to mount support for something. If you're for it, you're against it, and your job is to educate them. So wherever I stand on that, I'm going to work my behind off to educate people to support whatever I feel is the best possible solution or answer to that question. So that's the way I'm going to go about it. And I think that would be wise for us to do the same thing as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Your Honor.
Alderman Sanders? Alderman Sanchez?
Thank you, Your Honor. I just wanted to rise and say that I agree with Alderman Carlozzi here and disagree with several of the speakers. However, I do see the value in two of the three questions, and I wanted to clarify that I do see that. But because of what Alderman Carlozzi had stated and some of the questions that we raised, some of the questions that he raised, and certainly I took attention to, I don't think I could support it because of that.
Thank you. Alderman Sanders?
I just wanted to bring up that, you know, after hearing some conversation, I mean, still going to support this, but, you know, this is a problem that happens at the state level, and this happens in Congress. You know, what they do is they propose a change, and then they throw something at the back end of it. You know, so it's something that has to be explained. I mean, having the, you know, compensation switched from an election year to a non-election year, there's obviously a reason behind that, and I would say so we're not giving out raises on an election year. So bundling that in, I do agree that that doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. Right? I think it's actually inappropriate and should probably be eliminated. But for the sake of the charter revision and all the work that's gone into it, I'm just going to hope that our colleagues will explain that this is in there. And I rose to speak about it so that, you know, it was known that, you know, this is why we don't have Zika funding, because they threw something else in the bill, and that's why it wasn't supported, and then it becomes a partisan crap game between everybody is why things didn't get done. So, you know, I'm going to support it. I urge everyone else to support it as well, but at the same time, make sure that we are addressing our people that we represent as to what these charter changes mean when it comes time to vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Sanders. Alderman Rosato.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think I just want to briefly state as well, I think that we have to also be aware that these changes, regardless of what happens on the ballot, these changes won't take effect until the next council, I believe. Your Honor, is that correct? Yeah, so these changes aren't going to come into effect until the next council. So there's still a process in regards to that as well. So I just wanted to state that. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor. Just one other comment. I think it's a philosophy. I don't believe it necessarily. It's poor policy to do certain aspects on behalf of the community or behalf of a constituents. I'm sure I'll get the laugh out of a guy by the name of Morris K. Udall, who's a congressman, used to say, "How well? There's really three ways of why you legislate. You know, one is that you legislate based on what the constituency tell you, and the second is that you try to educate people in terms of having them be able to support what you believe. And then there's a point as a legislator in any position, whether it's local, state, or national, where because you have done your due diligence, because you've done the information that you provided, you act legislatively on behalf of the people who you represent." And I think that this is probably a classic example of a situation where we may never be able to explain every single detail of some of the things of how the sausage is made, as Alderman Naples applied to today. And I think that's part of it. There isn't any back door on this. This is not, I think, an example of that. I think it's about, here's the information we have. We're going to go out and do that. We're going to have nutmeg. I'm going to do coffees on it. I'm going to do a special event for that. It's really an opportunity. But people also, it goes back to the people who are here tonight. It was good to have them here tonight. They showed up tonight, but they also have a responsibility to be here tonight or any other time, and that's a good thing. They have, if we give them the opportunity, people have to be able to come out and access that information. And I don't feel that's being disingenuous to the people. I just believe that we can do the best we can on issues that were well done by the charter, that are going to improve the charter and the operation of the city. And we've done that, I think, with strong effort and responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Sanchez.
Thank you, Alderman, for stating that. But I do want to rise and speak to the magnitude of the question. If someone does agree with most of it and doesn't agree with some of it, they're not given that opportunity to say what it is that they do not agree with. And I think while it is just and fair to explain to the people what is on the ballot, I think it would be an injustice to have such great material within the third question and not allow people to support some in that situation and have to be forced to either support all of it or none of it. So I just wanted to state that for clarification.
Thank you very much. See no further discussion. This is a voice vote, so unless otherwise requested by roll call. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No, for the record.
Motion carries. For the record, we have Alderman Carlozzi, Alderman Sanders. I'm sorry, Alderman Sanchez, Alderwoman Black, resolution number 11, Alderman Giantoni.
Thank you, Your Honor. I make a motion to accept and adopt resolution number 11.
Seconded by Alderman Collins.
Resolution number 11 really goes with 10. This is establishing the explanatory text for the three questions, and I urge adoption.
Thank you very much. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No, for the record.
For the record, Carlozzi, Black, Sanchez. Resolution number 12. Sorry.
No. Sorry. Go ahead.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, the look on your face. Your Honor, I make a motion to accept and adopt resolution number 12.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Salerno.
Thank you, Your Honor. This has to deal with the other portion of this process that Mr. Chudwick mentioned. This is the detailed list of charter sections to be modified, and this is what will be published and available for public inspection prior to this being on the ballot. I urge adoption. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alderman. Any questions or comments? All those in favor?
Your Honor.
Alderman Carlozzi.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, to Alderman Giantoni. Alderman Giantoni, is this the, so I see Schedule A, I then see question one and what would happen if it failed, I then see question two and what would happen if that failed, and I then see question three, and question three lists all the sections but doesn't give you any detail. In here it says that the attached list of the sections of the city charter to be modified by each question as described, be approved, and be available for public inspection. Are these three pages what the public will be receiving?
I
Alderman, I think you should direct your question to Mr. Chudwick.
Thank you, Alderman.
Mr. Chudwick, please.
Your mayor, through you, to Mr. Chudwick.
Yes, Alderman Carlozzi. This is not what the public will see as far as what's been being published, I don't believe. This is an explanation or a statement of the council as to which sections are going to be revised. And this will then become the format and the blueprint for the explanatory text, which will explain in layperson's terms exactly what's going to be changed in each of the questions. So we find that this is helpful in towns and cities that we've worked with, because then when you go back to, as you mentioned, if one question passes but two don't, or vice versa, you can then determine from here which sections of the charter then you intended to change by doing that. So we think it's helpful in that respect, but there will be more detail to be provided to the public in layperson's terms as to what exactly is going to be changed as part of the explanatory text.
Thank you, sir. Your Honor, through you. The reason why I asked that question is because it says, as described in Schedule A to this resolution, be approved and be available for public inspection. Mm-hmm. And these are the three pages that I have. So that implies to me that this is what the public will be provided to inspect, as opposed to, you know, the charter revision report, which came out, which actually shows the crossouts, the insertions, the new language, et cetera. So if someone goes to the town clerk's committee, town clerk's office, they'll be given these three pages?
No. First of all, the explanatory text, this will not be the explanatory text. The explanatory text will be in much more detail. This really lays the blueprint for what the explanatory text is going to look like. The first page of a Schedule A, that may be something that will end up in the explanatory text. But again, since the town clerk has to put together posters to go in the at each polling place,
right,
we need to try and figure a way to get this, you know, more simplified and but help people understand exactly what's going to be in each question. So this is a blueprint. It's not the explanatory text. This will be available as a statement of what the council has intended to change in each of the sections. But then on top of this, there's the Charter Revision Commission report. There's all the other meetings that you have had in looking at that report and adopting it, and the public hearing that you held before you did that. And then there'll be explanatory text, which is the actual one that will go in absentee ballots and posters to be made for that, which will be the backbone of what people will hear, I think.
So what you're saying is, if someone does go to the town clerk's office or anywhere in City Hall and says, I'm interested in seeing a copy of the Charter Revision Report,
mm-hmm,
with all of these, with all of the details of the language that was changed, the omitted, right, insertions, they will be provided that.
They'll be provided that, and they'll be provided the Charter Revision Commission Report,
yes,
which has all of that detail in there.
Right.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Public information, too.
Yep.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just want to be clear. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people in City Hall may not totally understand what they can and should give out to the public, so I want to be clear about that.
It'll all be available for the public, yes.
Okay. Just another question. You may know the answer, you may not. Historical data. If 100 people come out and vote in the election,
mm-hmm,
do you know, based on all the work that you've done, have you ever collected any data on how many, what percentage roughly votes on actual charter revision questions? Have you ever analyzed that or looked at it?
We have not. And again, I think it's helpful to, what we've seen in towns, to have fewer questions so that people will actually vote on them. I would think in this cycle there'll be quite a bit of participation on this, and people will understand the questions are at the top of the ballot, and hopefully you'll get a good participation rate. But we've never done an analysis of how many people actually bother to vote on charter revision. It's usually on a ballot with other elected officials.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chudwick. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
You're very welcome, Alderman. Any other questions? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Second.
Made by Alderman D'Antonio, seconded by Alderman Sanders. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned. The time is 10:26 p.m. Thank you very much.